We're talking today with Tim O'Connor, who's the president of Wheat Foods Council, based out of Denver. And Tim, let's talk a little bit about maybe first what Wheat Foods Council is for our wheat producers. What is this organization? How is it working on behalf of wheat producers?
Well, Ron, thanks for the opportunity. The Wheat Foods Council is an organization that works on the domestic demand for wheat. And so our programs are all about growing the opportunity for the whole industry. We're funded by the grower organizations. They're the strong base of who we are. And then mills and bakers and even more remote, like equipment manufacturers, get involved in working with us as well. And we hope to keep expanding that network.
You're really, as much as anything down through the years, you've always tried to influence influencers.
That's correct. We do have an influencer strategy. Our budgets are fairly small, and so we don't have an ability to go out and do a big consumer advertising campaign. It's just the revenue isn't there. But by targeting influencers, we talk to a small group of people who talks to a much larger group of people, and we keep them informed. We answer their questions. We, debunk myths. We help them understand more about wheat and wheat products. They, in turn, are then able to communicate that information very broadly on our behalf.
Well, certainly you've had your challenges over the last few years as almost a firestorm over the concept of gluten and gluten-free has hit American consumers and has kind of captured the fancy of a lot of folks. This is a tough thing for the wheat industry, I know, to push back on.
Well, it is. It is the fad diet of the moment. And in my career, I've been in food marketing for over 25 years. I worked against the low-cholesterol diet and the low-fat diet and the low-carbohydrate diet. This looks very much like what I've seen in the past with those same fad diets, where consumers become convinced that if I just do this one thing that everybody else seems to be doing, I'll lose a lot of weight, I'll feel healthier, my life will be perfect. And that's what gives these fad diets the momentum. And the only way to combat them is with science, with fact, and broadening the base of people who have a respected position, being able to speak out and say, well, wait a minute, that's not accurate. Here's what's really accurate. And so we've been battling that. We're seeing signs that the tide might be turning. There are a lot more articles in the media. I'll cover that in my presentation today. In the last 6 months, there are a lot more articles in the media talking about the gluten-free diet really isn't what it was cracked up to be. Let's take a close look at the science around gluten and who really has gluten issues, and it's a very small percentage of the population. The rest of the folks that have jumped on the bandwagon have done exactly that, and they didn't need to. And with the media beginning to pick that up, it won't go away overnight, but what I'm hoping is it is at the tipping point, and it will be gliding downhill from there, and we hope we can glide it as fast as possible down to the end.
The whole concept about the gluten-free issue is it's been a very emotional one. It's a feeling. So I know that a lot of people say, I just feel better if I go to this gluten-free regimen. And so, that's why I've done it. Maybe not even necessarily lose weight, but they have this perception, it seems like.
It's absolutely that. In fact, there's a fascinating book called The Gluten Lie. It's worth a read by anybody in the industry. And in it, Dr. Levinowitz, who wrote the book, is a professor of religious studies. I mean, it seems like really weird that he would write a book about gluten. But what he points out is following fad diets over the years, they become like a religious belief, just exactly as you said, Ron. Somebody is just convinced that they feel better if they remove wheat from their diet, even though they don't have any gluten issues, medical ones. It's like a strongly held religious belief. And when people commit to that and they're telling everybody in their circle, boy, I took wheat out of my diet, it's evil, I feel so much better, they've bought the farm. And for them to turn around and have to eat crow and say, boy, what an idiot I was, it doesn't happen easily. And so it's a problem of these people really understanding, all I did was jump on the latest bandwagon, I fooled myself, I'm really not better because medically I don't have issues with wheat. And, you know, in medical research, there's always placebos used, and people are amazingly affected by them. And there's now something called the nocebo effect, which means you absolutely had nothing, but you're just convinced that you have an issue. And so this book also covers that, and many other researchers cover the placebo and nocebo effects of the gluten thing, and it's real. People honestly believe that their body has been somehow overtaken by wheat, and when they remove wheat, they're just better. And it's the phenomenon of a fad diet. Cholesterol was the same way. Fat was the same way. Carbohydrates were the same way. It's an American psyche thing, but it's spreading around the globe. But it's not just American, and that's the other thing that I've seen is the issues might start here in the U.S. Some of them start in Europe, but they spread. Yeah. And, you know, when I dealt with a low-carbohydrate diet, I was working for the potato industry. And we were managing it here, and all of a sudden it popped up in China. And we had to take all of the work that we did here to deal with a low-carbohydrate diet and apply it in China because the Chinese were suddenly afraid of carbohydrates.
Right. Related issue. In other words, I think this almost goes hand-in-hand with some of the claims regarding gluten. Was there some? You had a couple of folks out there decrying our change of the wheat itself. In other words, they made claims that we had somehow bred bad things into wheat over, four or five decades or so.
That's a big part of what we see often is the wheat is different, modern wheat. You know, they always want to talk about modern wheat. And, you know, like the religious belief around a fad diet, there's also this commitment to things in the old days were better, and now here in the current period, right, we've just mucked it all up, you know. And many people will believe there's been genetically modified wheat products that have caused this to happen. But certainly the wheat industry and the big companies that are in the food industry that use wheat products, they've screwed it all up. There's just no question about that in the minds of these people. It's just... it's a part of the belief of, you know, big and corporate, and it's just all tied up in that whole thing. And so the idea that the wheat is different is a big part of the reason people are avoiding it.
And of course, you mentioned GMO. We don't even have GMO wheat commercially available. That obviously is another part of the conversation that we continue to have.
Well, it is. And, you know, we've done survey work with some of the influencers that we work with to see what they know, because we want to understand, well, what do they know? Where do we need to, you know, tune up our educational materials to be sure we're correcting the misinformation? And, you know, the GMO thing was at a higher level in years past, and it's come down. But there's still a percentage of well-educated people who don't know, who think that, well, there must be some GMO. And so we continue to inform them, you know, this is the status of the industry.
Where are we going as far as strategy to promote wheat, to position wheat in the best possible light with those influencers and with consumers?
Well, I'm new to the Wheat Foods Council, so we're going through a strategy review process over the next 6 months. We'll continue an influencer strategy run. We don't have the budgets to do big consumer campaigns. I've done those, but I've done those in industries where the resources were available to do them. So we'll have to be very targeted, and we'll have to look at what influencers have the best opportunities for us to get the accurate messages out. I think we're still talking about gluten. You know, we want to talk positively about wheat. We don't want to just always be, you know, putting a shield up and defending against wheat. It's hard to score points when you're always playing defense, but you have to play defense. But we need to play offense. It's time to play some offense. And so we're going to be looking at, we have a lot of research, and if anybody hasn't been to the Wheat Foods Council's website, wheatfoods.org, you should go there. We have a huge repository of research. We have programs on there, for example, for dietitians to get continuing education points. It's that level of professional information that's there. So we have a lot of science, and what I'm looking for is to determine, do we have gaps in the science? Is there science that we need for these next steps down this journey to be more successful? I don't know what those are yet, but we're investigating to determine what science do we need to fill in the gaps, because we have a huge library of science. And then what influencers can we bring onto the team that we're not targeting today that would give us a different voice, a new voice, a broader connection with consumers? So our strategy, we're looking at all of those things.